Let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah 29. We'll read verses 1 through 14. Jeremiah 29, verses 1 through 14, page 780 in your pew Bibles. Jeremiah's letter to the exiles. Nebuchadnezzar has come in and taken many people from Judah, from Jerusalem, and hauled them off to live in a foreign land as exiles in Babylon. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah, or Jehoiachin, and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. The letter said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Our text, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. I know the plans I have for you, verse 11, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's God's word, and may he bless and build our lives through it and grant us faith to believe it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, is actually the same word that we talked about, that we heard from Psalm 40 last night. You have multiplied your wondrous works and your thoughts toward us. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord takes thought for me. The word is the same as the word thoughts. So we could translate it as the old King James does. I know the thoughts I have for you, declares the Lord. Thoughts for your welfare, and not for your harm, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Last night we spoke about the thoughtfulness of God with respect to our past, ordering everything in our lives, thinking well ahead of time of all that we needed, and then answering our cries, answering our prayers for deliverance, for help, in his time and his way according to his plan. And his thoughtfulness has carried us to the present. If we did not have a thoughtful God, we would not stand a chance. We would not survive. But the same is true moving forward, Jeremiah 29. I know the thoughts I have for you in 2020. I know the thoughts that I have for you in the future, too. That's all ordered as well. And that's what we want to look at this morning, the thoughtfulness of God toward us with respect to the future, not only the past. We want to see that God has his plans prepared for us. These are plans for peace and thirdly, plans for prosperity. It's a plan that's prepared. It's a plan for peace. It's a plan for prosperity for all his children. who believe in Him, in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a plan prepared. Let me first give a bit of the history here. The invasion of Judah, that's what Jeremiah is dealing with. His ministry has to deal with Babylon coming to Judah, the southern tribe of the people of God, and invading them. God uses Babylon as His agent of punishment to Judah for her idolatry, her rebellion, her lukewarmness. And that invasion occurs in three stages. First in 605, where Daniel and his three friends and a few others get taken to Babylon. The second invasion is 597. That's the one being referred to here, where the king, the royal family, and all the artisans, all the people of power and wealth and ability and talent and education, 10,000 of them are hauled off to Babylon, leaving the poor behind. And then the third and final invasion is 586, where Nebuchadnezzar comes and he breaks down the wall and he breaks down the city and he burns the temple. Well, it's after that middle invasion, 597, when the royal family and the artisans are hauled off and Judah is gutted, that false prophets are saying to the exiles, God doesn't want you there. You'll just be there for a little while and you'll come back. So don't settle down there. Don't accept your time and your exile in Babylon. God doesn't want you there. False prophets. But the truth is, God wants them there. And He wants them to grow there and learn there and repent there and be spiritually renewed there. He has a purpose and a plan for them there. They're asking, what are our lives now that we're here in a foreign land as exiles? And God's answer to them is in the wonderful promise of verses 10 through 14. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, the thoughts I have toward you, thoughts for your welfare. Your shalom is the word, your well-being, your peace, and not for evil. Thoughts for giving you a future and a hope. And then you'll call upon me and you'll come and pray to me and I'll hear you and you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I'll be found by you and I'll restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Powerful promises that have comforted Christians today as well, all over the world. Because we too are pilgrims, we're exiles living in a land not our own, and we're journeying toward the heavenly country, the fatherland, to live with God forever in the new creation. That's the Hebrews 11 pilgrimage. So we're in that same spot, and we're asking, how can God do us any good in this culture, in this land where we're exiles and sojourners, which is so corrupt and depraved and perverted? And you might as well give up. You might as well forget about marrying, having children and making commitments. You might as well forget about praying. This is a useless endeavor. Oh no, says the Lord. I want you to settle down. I want you to plant your gardens. I want you to plant your fields. I want you to have children. I want you to get spouses for your kids so that they have children. And I want those children to get spouses for their kids so they have children, so that you increase and you don't decrease. And I want you to pray for the cities where you're living. You're living in Baghdad. I want you to pray for Baghdad. I want you to pray for its welfare, because if its welfare, you find your own. I know the plans I have for you, the thoughts that I have for you. We have a thoughtful God who not only thinks about us and has ordered our lives so thoughtfully in times past, which has led Him to do wondrous things for us. Just the right thing at the right time, because He's such a thoughtful God. He's a God whose thoughts are so many. They number more than the sand. And they're constant and they're powerful and they're gracious and they're merciful. How good it is to take refuge in such a thoughtful God who thinks of you specifically. But God's thoughts also carry you into the future. I know the thoughts I have for you moving forward. Brothers and sisters, as we look ahead, know that God has thought about 2020 way ahead of you. He has thought about this coming year and about your place and purpose in it long before you ever knew 2020 would ever come. And His thoughts come in the forms of His plans. He already has a plan and trillions of plans for your life to give you mercies that are new every morning. That's all. That's already arranged. And to give you strength when you're weak, and to inspire your prayers and answer them far more abundantly than you could ask or imagine. And He's got plans to protect you, because He knows how the devil is taking aim at your life. He's got plans for you. And that's why 2020 is a safe place for you and me to be. And 2021 too, as long as the Lord tarries. 2022. You might not be fully prepared for this year, but God is. He doesn't just say there are plans for you. I know them already. They're prepared. You can put your hand in His hand and know that He'll lead you forward in His powerful love and grace into a good year. He's got fresh mercies planned for you. He's got your protection lined up for every trial. He's got repentance planned for you when you fall. Forgiveness arranged for you in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. He's got guidance marked out for you in your pathway when you're walking in the darkness or in a fog of confusion. He's already thought of all this ahead of time. I know the thoughts. I know the plans I have for you. God doesn't wing it. He doesn't wonder what the year looks like. He doesn't wait at the sidelines and give you control over your own life, because that would be disaster. That would be to give you over to the countless evils and iniquities that rise up against you if you would say, I put you in control. No, He plans. He arranges all things in advance. His thoughtfulness has got you covered, brothers and sisters, for the coming year. And when you as a sinner trust in Jesus Christ and you run to Him for refuge, and you take your little, scared, weak, assaulted, persecuted, tempted, troubled, hurting, uncertain, perplexed life, and you run to Jesus, and you cast all your cares on Him, and you come to Him for rest, for your sins to be covered in His blood, for your safety to be assured in His resurrection, then all those thoughts and those plans of God are for you. They're for you, not against you, and they're for you specifically. In Jesus, it's for you, these plans, for your good. Remember, if you're outside of Jesus, you can't expect the Lord to plan for your welfare and for your prosperity and for your salvation, because you're part of the kingdom that's at war against Him. But when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, then all God's thoughts are for you. No matter what happens, you're in His thoughts. You're under His thoughtfulness. And His thoughtfulness has already made 2020 safe for you. And that doesn't mean you can sit back in your lazy boy and let God do everything for you. No, God says to the exiles, you have to go out and serve the Lord. You have to pray for your city. You have to have children and raise them in the Lord's ways and plant fields and gardens and contribute to your local economy. And pray to the Lord for His help. Seek Him with all your heart. Bang on His door to fulfill His promises. But you can do all that resting in a God whose thoughts, in His thoughtfulness, has everything set. So that you may survive and thrive. And you may live and flourish as children of faith. Because Jesus, when He died and rose, He purchased for you a good life from God. A life that's near to God. A life of forgiveness and mercy and help and direction and joy. And that's yours. And that's the life God has planned for you this year. As Scott Hubbard wrote, God is not content to fill only our past with wondrous deeds, but the chambers of His merciful imagination are always full of fresh wonders waiting for their proper time. He is continually eager to unfold new dimensions of His grace, His love, and His kindness, adding fresh installments every day. We don't need to worry that God's mercies will someday cease, for they're more than can be told. And secondly, it's a plan for your peace, for your welfare, for your shalom. It's a prepared plan. He doesn't wing it. It's all set. And it's a plan specifically for your peace as an exile. Living in that awful land of Babylon, where you're a foreigner, and you're discriminated against, and you're despised as a Jew, I'm looking out for your peace, not for evil. I'm not doing you evil. Now, that doesn't mean that evil things, bad things, hurtful things, painful things will not happen to you. God in his thoughtfulness has not planned for you an easy, cushy, pampered life filled with pillows and puppy dogs. That's not the way God works. That's the pipe dream of the faithless. That's not the hope of the faithful. But God, in his good and merciful plan for your well-being, though he might not have exactly planned for you in 2020 what you have planned, and he might not have in mind for you exactly what you have in mind for 2020, but that's a good thing because we're poor planners and we're short-term thinkers. We look 60 to 70 years ahead at the most. But God's looking ahead generations, even thousands of years and beyond that, stretching into eternity. And the thoughtfulness he has toward you is putting you in that spot where he's arranged a whole redemptive story and made you part of that. As we said last night with Joseph, God's plan looked ahead thousands of years to the coming of Jesus and beyond. And that plan for his well-being included pain and persecution. But even in the lowest pit, Joseph placed his life under the perfect plan of God. And guess what God gave him there in prison? You remember? Peace, contentment, shalom. Shalom in prison under persecution. And he prospered him in the darkest place. Joseph knew that God's man in God's place at God's time is working out God's purposes. God's man, God's woman, in God's place at God's time is working out God's purposes. And I'm thinking of that Chinese pastor from the early rain church who's now been sentenced to 9 years in prison, Pastor Wang Yi. He's in prison. What's he enjoying there? God's shalom. Here's what he wrote. You may have read that too. I hope God uses me by means of first losing my personal freedom to tell those who have deprived me of my personal freedom that there's an authority higher than their authority, and there's a freedom that they can't restrain, a freedom that fills the church of the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. I have a freedom that they can't take away, and I'm free right here in prison because I know the thoughts that God has toward me, and they're good. And he's using me as a piece of a great plan. And I'm happy to be God's man at God's place and God's time to work out God's purpose. You see, when we know we're not in control, but there's a God in heaven who is, we can simply rest on his plan and serve the Lord with gladness and faithfulness. And know that he'll prosper our plan, his plan, through us. So God has you in mind and all eternity along with you on his mind. At the same time, the amazing mind of God. And step by step, he'll hold you, feed you, lead you, strengthen you. You're never alone. The Lord thinks upon you. And his thoughts have ordered a place of peace and rest for you day by day. No matter what his plan holds for you, where his plan takes you. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. So know this, brothers and sisters, God has arranged peace for you this year. Shalom, well-being, not ease, not a smooth road without a ripple, not a bumper crop, not perfectly compliant children, not a tear-free, pain-free, worry-free, problem-free, temptation-free limo ride. Here's what he's got for you. It's just better than them all put together. A God with us road. A God with you road. An Emmanuel road. Where God goes before you, he goes behind you, goes above you, goes with you in his grace. He thinks of you. And then we can say, Lord, I don't care where you put me. Just as long as you're with me. And then it is well with my soul. I have welfare. I have shalom. Can we go forward that way? I don't care, God, where you put me. That's your prerogative, not mine. Just go with me. If I have to go through the river, go with me. If I have to go through the fire, stand with me. And then I have welfare. And that was the promise to the exiles living in Babylon. so that they could have families and do their work, be involved in industry, and pray for their towns and cities. That takes freedom of mind and peace of heart. That means turning over your fears to God and handing them over to Him, trusting Him to take care of you. Even though through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What does 2020 hold for you? Maybe you face a mind-numbing job that you can't escape. Trust that God is able to put a new song in your mouth, even there. Do you see children whose needs and complaints swamp your days? Trust that there's a God who notices you, hears you, takes thought for you, and uses you in their little lives. Do you see the after effects of your own sin, which take months or years to clean up or might never be fully sorted out in this life? See a God who will never fail to preserve you with His steadfast love and faithfulness. Do you see pressure to compromise and conform so you can keep your friends or your job? See also the God who holds your life in His hand, and He owns all the jobs in the world and all the people in the world. And He says to you, don't fear, be faithful, I'll take care of the outcome. Don't be afraid of what you might lose, because I'll give you far more than you could ever lose by following me. And we can sing with Katharina von Schlegel, be still my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. And that's what we see thirdly. God's plan finally is a plan to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. I know the plans, the thoughts that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's at the end of God's thoughtful plans for Judah there in Babylon. What was ahead for them? What lay ahead? What was the promise? While those who listened to the false prophets would lose their way and their place in God's kingdom, what was ahead for them was death. Their lives would be destroyed. Some seek a short term or a shortcut to prosperity by giving up on God and seeking worldly riches in a worldly way. But the love of money and the love of convenience and the love of pleasure will only lead to wandering away from the truth and pierce your life with many griefs, says Paul. But those who believed the Lord God and followed Him, among those of Judah, who rested in His plans for them, had this hope. At the end of 70 years, God's going to take you back to the promised land and restore your fortunes. He's going to grant you success. He's going to prosper you. Your dreams and your hopes and your prayers will all be fulfilled at God's arranged time. Well, how much more is that true for God's people today in the new covenant who are looking forward to going home to the promised land, to be with God in the new Jerusalem forever and ever? And God will take you there. Prosperity is arriving there. We also noted that in our brother Ralph Boss's funeral. What made him a prosperous man? It's not that he ran a good business and they had so many friends. What made him a prosperous man is he trusted the Lord to the end and arrived home, the promised land, safely. That's what success is, brothers and sisters. The world despises that view of success as chasing after the pot of gold. The pot of gold is worldly pleasure and wealth, because that's fading, that's fleeting, that won't last. True prosperity is trusting in a thoughtful God who has planned and ordered for you a perfect destination called Himself in glory, the promised land, and to restore perfect life to you. So give your life to Him day by day. Give your joys to Him, your sorrows to Him, your pleasures, your pains, your wealth, your worries, your health, your sicknesses, your faithful children, your unfaithful children. Put it all in His hand. Commit your way to the Lord. Psalm 37, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Trust Him to do you good, even when it appears there's no reward. So you can also say with Pastor Wang Yi, I am free in Christ, and my hope is sure. A promised land. He's taking me there. He's promised it. That land that outshines the sun. These are the thoughts and the plans that God has for you in Christ Jesus. And they're purchased. This glory package has been purchased in Christ by His death and resurrection for every sinner who calls on His name. You trust in Him. Look to Jesus for your life. That package, that prosperity, that shalom, those thoughts are for you. So will you line up your plans and your thoughts with His and direct your life toward God's glory and God's goals and God's purpose and be God's man in God's place at God's time to serve God's purposes in a world that needs the Lord and to pray for your city and your town and your village? As we sit on the edge of a new year, writes one author, we're hemmed in by the faithfulness of God. Behind us are His wondrous deeds. Before us are His merciful plans. Both of them are marvelous and more than can be told. With such a God behind us and before us, we need not allow the past to swallow us nor the future to worry us. The past and the future belong to Him, and most importantly, so do we. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us not to think of the power being in the climate fearmongers who forecast catastrophe. Help us not to look for power in the economy or to think that the world's in the hand of the nations which are in tumult against each other. Help us to see that the power, our power, is in Your plans. That's where all the power is. And that under Your hand, in Your plan, in Your thoughtfulness, 1,000 may fall at our right hand, but no evil will come near us. You are the conqueror of every sickness, every satanic assault, every sin, every foe, and even of death itself. Help us to serve the Lord with gladness in the coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.